Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Another episode of the Above the Bar podcast. It's your host, Sean. We're bellied up to the bar today. We've got J.W. Spiller. He is an author. He wrote a book called I might as well just scroll it across the bottom here for those of you watching live. Heaven's Truth, the Parallels Between the Bible and Near-Death Experience. Jay, say hi to everybody.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. So there he is. Jay's giving everybody a nice wave. Before we get going, we always got to do our housekeeping here. So as always, and I'm finally getting this right, folks, over my right shoulder, we've got our clock. We've got our sticker and a cause. You've got anything going on out there, whether you have your own podcast, you got a book like Jay does, anything and everything you've ever done, you're supporting some cause, school books, book sale, bakery, whatever it is. I don't care. Send me a sticker of it. Tell me what it's about. I'll put your sticker on the clock. The goal is to see how much we can fill this thing up, get a little support for everybody else's things they have going on. Jay, are you excited to be here?
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here.
For those of you that aren't watching Jay right now, Jay is wearing a Curious George t-shirt, which I really, truly dig. But before we get started, we have our secondary rule for everyone who's out there right now watching us live. You have one goal and one goal always for our fans. Go ahead and log into your Facebook or whatever account you're watching us on Facebook on, and make sure you share this to every single solitary place that you can think of with the one goal and one goal alone, folks. And that is to try to get banned from every yard sale site that you could possibly find yourself on. And as always, Big Eric, what's up, brother? Eric's already checking us out. Jay, say hi to Eric.
Hi, Eric.
There you go. All right. So we're sharing this to all of our groups here. So Jay, as we get started here, I've got a lot of different questions about the book. Now, my first one is it's an interesting topic. Did you have a near-death experience?
No, I didn't have a near-death experience. I got interested when I was about 11 years old. This was in 1983, and I come from a Christian background, and I was watching a show called That's Incredible, and they were talking about that. The near-death experience, and I was all mesmerized by it because, you know, I believed all these things like heaven, God, Jesus, by faith, but it's like, well, these people had actually been there. And there were people within my lifetime that were, you know, still alive. So I was really mesmerized by that. And I called a Christian radio station and asked what he thought. It was called the Bible Answer Man. And he was very dismissive of it and just kind of poo-pooed it. And I
blew you off.
So I just sort of put it on the back burner. What? Yeah. I just sort of put it on the back burner till the late 90s when I got in law school. And I started having questions in my faith about different things like hell. And so I started looking at the near-death experience again and got interested all over again and started studying. And I've been kind of studying the near-death experience since about 97, just doing my own research. And I belong to a lot of different like email list groups and Facebook groups and doing research, watching videos, reading articles. I've read over a dozen books on the near-death experience. So I've had a fascination with it since then. And now, coming from a Christian background, I've seen. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I think we got a little bit of a delay, so I'll keep that in mind. There's a little bit of delay between you and I, but no, please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say that I think that the Christian community and churches in general have become more open over the years, and you've seen a lot of movies like Heaven is for Real, which was a book too, and I read that one, saw the movie where the boy of a minister died, had a near-death experience. He was 3 years old. So there seems like there's more interest coming out, and you see more stories in Christian media as well as secular media on the near-death experience, which I think is positive.
Now, well, Netflix had a series for a little while called OA, Original Angel is what that stood for. And it was all about this group of people who had near-death experiences and were kidnapped by a doctor who was doing research on them. And he would regularly, as crazy as that, regularly kill them and then bring them back to see what they experienced each time. Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah, it sounds like a movie they had in the... I haven't seen the Netflix series, but there was a movie in the late 80s called Flatline, where graduate students. They were graduate students or college students, and they were like experimenting on themselves. They would sort of commit suicide, but they had a way of coming back. And then they would go on the other side and have different experiences and things like that. And their experiences were always negative. And then they figured out, oh, it's because we're committing suicide. Suicide's a bad thing. But I mean, it's kind of the same theme, you know, from that movie.
Definitely. And one of my buddies, Tom, he goes by Cujo online. Tom, we're not doing Telemardu tonight, so I do have that with us. Normally, we, you know, this is the bar there, Jay. Jay's having seltzer, I think. We're going to belly up with what we've got here. But I'm trying a new one. This is when I went to the store today. I don't know if anybody can see this real quick. We'll put this one. Heaven Hill Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, and it's actually a bonded one. So we're trying a new one tonight there, Tom. We're going to see how that one works out. But I do want to throw something sidebar out here for you, Jay. So, Jay, where do you live at?
I live in Anaconda, Montana. Okay. It's southwest Montana. It's probably only about a 40-minute drive to Deer Lodge.
So that's what's crazy. So we had J.W. Cutler last week.
I'm probably like 100 miles.
And Jay is from Deer Lodge, which you were mentioning. And then we had, before Jay, a couple of weeks, we had our buddy Tim I. Miller, who lives out in Missoula. I've never been to Montana. But now that these three gentlemen have been on the show, Montana may be the most happening podcast location in America. Because I'm getting big in Montana. If I'm not the biggest thing in Montana after this show is over with, there's a problem. I've already got an uncle that lives in Billings. I've got an aunt that lives out there. I don't remember where she lives at, but they're all, you know, Billings, South Dakota. I have an uncle that actually lives in Sturgis, in the city of Sturgis. So I don't know what's going on here, but I'm getting big in Montana, folks. Jay's going to make me the biggest thing in Montana around. And since he's a lawyer, are you still a lawyer, Jay? You there, Jay?
I practiced law in Utah for several years, but right now I'm here. Practiced law in Utah for several years, but I'm just focusing more on writing and putting together an online course right now.
Okay, because I was going to say, if you're still practicing law, I may need you as my lawyer through all this when I'm out there and getting big in Montana. You know, I may need you to represent me. Come on, Jay. Smile for me, brother. Jay is like dedicated. Yeah. There we go. He is so dedicated. He wants us all to know. So when you wrote your book about these experiences, what I'm curious of is, did you interview people that actually had these near-death experiences? Did you get involved with folks and talk to anybody who actually had real near-death experiences?
Well, I did research mostly online and from books, but then I ended up meeting one of the people that I had referenced in my book, and I'm actually friends with her now, and I know her from Facebook. But when I wrote the book, I didn't actually know any of the people personally when I did it. But I've since met one person from the book.
All right. And what was her experience?
I just sort of came across her in one of the near-death experience groups, you know, and was kind of surprised, but she was there. And yeah.
So now what was her experience?
Well, she had about four near-death experiences. Her name is Sharon Milliman, and she's met Jesus, and she had an experience where she saw like a brother and like a stepfather, and she actually saw a dog in heaven. And she found out later when she came back that this dog had been beat up and was abused, and that's how he died. It was like a neighbor's dog. And so when she came back, she found out about this dog. It was a beagle puppy. So that was kind of a confirmation to her that, you know, animals have an afterlife too. And there's been other NDEs like that too. And I remember one thing too is she doesn't come from a Muslim background, but she was quoted a scripture from the Quran, and then, you know, came back and verified that it was actually in there. So there's sort of a picture of God that's sort of bigger than any one particular religion. I obviously wrote it from more of a Christian perspective and from the Bible, looking at parallels between those two, but there seems to be that God is bigger than any one particular religion, and that there's spiritual truths within different religions that translate over.
So so the people you've talked to, the folks you've met with, now this lady, four near-death experiences, like I don't even know like even where you begin with something like that. That's just wild to me that she lived four times. She was considered, now when they say, now this is probably even a better question. So when you have somebody say that they had a near-death experience, does that mean that at some point somebody said they were clinically dead, or, you know, somebody walking down the street and they're like, "Ooh, I almost get hit by a car. I nearly died." Like, what defines a near-death experience?
Well, generally a near-death experience is where you actually die, and you could be declared clinically dead. In some cases, people have NDEs that weren't officially declared dead, but that's sort of the delineation that you physically die and then you experience heaven, or you experience various lights, or have some kind of afterlife experience. And there's people that have not even come close to dying that have had experiences. They're called spiritually transformative experiences. And they're similar to an NDE. The only difference is they didn't die. And a lot of times if you have a STE or an NDE, it sort of taps you into
an the ST spiritual what?
World. And it does it, STE, a spiritually transformative experience. And if you have a spiritually transformative experience or an NDE, it sort of taps you into the spiritual world. And it seems like it's easier for people that have had an NDE or an STE to go on to have multiple experiences. So sometimes you'll hear about people having two, three, or multiple NDEs, or an NDE and an STE. And I mentioned that in my book, and I talked about like the Apostle Paul had both a spiritually transformative experience when he was converted on the road to Damascus. And then a few years later, he was stoned at Lystra and had an NDE. So he was sort of tapped in. And I think when you sort of understand that he had a connection spiritually, well, it makes sense that, you know, he went on to become an apostle and would write half of the New Testament. And so you see a strong connection between the NDE and the Bible that way, that the person that wrote half the New Testament had a spiritually transformative experience and had an NDE as well.
Now Eric's got a great question.
And I also talk about like,
I'm sorry. The lag's really getting us here. And folks, those of you that listen to this on the podcast, the other version of this, you're not seeing the live. I do apologize for the lag. I promise I'm not trying to step on Jay. I find this very interesting because Eric brings up a great point. So he has a friend, and I question that part of it, but I know Eric. He has a friend's mom who was hit by lightning twice. I think she should be buying lottery tickets every day for the rest of her life, because she's beating the odds there. But he says, does getting hit by lightning, something like that, count as a near-death experience? Or does, do you, again, do you, like, I guess I'm just curious about that. Like, I you're going to have to explain to me what the spiritually enlightened experience is. Is that like there's so much going on here. Let's do the first one here. Near death. Getting struck by lightning, is that a near-death experience?
Yeah, I think it can be a near-death experience because they've had quite a few, they've had a few big name people that had, were struck by lightning. One of the biggest NDEs that has been recorded was Damien Brinkley, and he had a experience in 1975 when he was struck by lightning, went to heaven, saw the pearly gates, had a life review, was profoundly changed. And then I believe he had a second NDE when he had a operation in the late 80s. But yeah, he was struck by lightning and died and had a near-death experience, came back. I think when he came back from his NDE, he actually woke up in the morgue and had been dead for several minutes, but then he just came back. So yeah,
wait, there in the morgue, they rushed him to the morgue. Lightning that had,
yeah, he was in the hospital. They couldn't save him.
Like, that's
they
crazy.
Declared him dead, put the sheet over
him. Wheeled his ass out.
There's been other people that have had NDEs. Yeah, that have had NDEs and woke up in the morgue. You know, they thought they were just gone, and then they woke up in the morgue later. There's one that was dead for like 3 days. He was this guy from Russia.
Dead for 3 days.
He died for 3 days. And then came back. Yeah, and then he came back to life in the morgue.
Was his name Lazarus?
No. There's actually a guy in Africa. His name was Emmanuel, that died during the Rwandan crisis in the 90s, and he was dead for 7 days, and they had wrapped him up, you know, and left him for dead. And then he woke up 7 days later, and he had like maggots in his body and stuff like that. It was kind of gross, but he had a very detailed near-death experience over those 7 days, and he met Christ, and he was given a tour of heaven and things like that. So there have been modern resurrections of people that have been dead for several hours or even days. They came back to life.
I mean, I don't even, 7 days, that just seems like an extraordinary, I mean, because at that point, the brain is gone. There's no oxygen there. There's no, nothing's been pumping to the organs. Like how would that even be? That just sounds like, you know, now this is me being a little bit hesitant on it, not saying anything against it, Jay, but that sounds more like, I'm not putting a lot of faith in the Rwandan medicine during the Hutu and the Tutsi murdering each other. I mean, I'm not putting a lot in on that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, there's this thing called the silver cord, and talks about it in the Bible too, that when the silver cord is broken, you know, basically it cuts ties to this side and you're totally dead. I think most NDEs are just usually like a few minutes. So the silver cord probably isn't completely severed. But I think probably in a case like his, or like the one from Russia where they're dead for days, I mean, this would have to just be a straight out miracle from God sending you back, like the resurrection of Christ. But most NDEs are just like a few minutes, and you know, they come back. And the thing about Emmanuel was that when he came back, he had the whole Bible that he had was downloaded into him, and he could quote the whole Bible, and there was miracles that followed and things like that.
There's a movie like that with what's his name, Denzel Washington, called the Book of God, I can't think of the name of it, where he basically has a near-death experience.
Oh, yeah.
Book of Eli. Yeah.
Has Book a near-death experience. Yeah, I saw that movie. I like that movie.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal, yeah, twist at the end of it. So So what do you, I got to ask Jay. So do you spend all, is this it? This is what you do. You're not practicing law anymore. You did that in Utah for a little while. Now we're doing this. Is there any, like, do you do anything else besides, you know, just focus on NDEs and STDs and all those kind of things?
Well, no, I'm focusing on writing, and I had an interest in the near-death experience. So I wrote that book, but my second book is actually on meditation, and that's the one I want to put together an online course for. And I'm working on a third book that's just more about spiritual living, and that's sort of like a Christian devotional. But I have a big interest in NDEs, but that's not the only thing I focus on.
So now, what do you think then about, now you're getting into the meditation side of it, what's your feelings on like out-of-body experiences, people, you know, what the hell is that? I can't even think of the damn right word, where astral projection, any of that kind of stuff where people say that, you know, they can get to such a deep meditative state that they could just get out of their body. And folks, for those of you that are still with us, please, you know, send in some questions. Let's see what Jay's got. Maybe you've had a near-death experience. You've had an STE experience. STE keeps throwing me off, Jay. I'm going to tell you right now, sitting here at the Above the Bar podcast, it is very difficult to remember that last letter is E and not D. So I keep trying not to screw that one up. But I know most of you probably have had STDs, but we're looking for your STE, that's echo experience. So, you know, if you look, Jay laughs too, folks. We got him to laugh. We're winning already. We're making this happen. Jay, we will make you exciting before
I was actually on another podcast and I slipped and called it an STD. And then it was like, oops, you know, but yeah, I mean, in terms of meditation, a lot of people that have near-death experiences go on to practice meditation because they feel like they can get connected back to the light to some degree. And most people that meditate, you can feel a connection to the light. But for the vast majority of people, it's not going to be as vivid or real as like an NDE. But I have heard of a few cases. Like there's some Buddhist traditions that say that they can go as deep and go into an NDE-like state. And I think that may be real. For me personally, I meditate and I feel close to God and things like that and connected. But I don't personally think that I've come anywhere close to having experience like what I read about within near-death experiences. But yeah, I know a lot of NDE people do practice meditation to sort of feel like they can go back and make a connection with the light through it.
And Cody is a friend of mine. She actually is very into like the meditative stuff. And she says she actually has astral projected once. But she's had profound moments in meditation. Cody, I was going to send you a message, but for whatever reason, I can't find your Facebook Messenger. I was going to send you a message. Oh, there it goes. Here we go. Cody, go check your Facebook Messenger. But yeah, she's had that. Now, you said you've never had anything like that, but you're very into the whole meditative piece.
Yeah, I felt peace and I felt a connection with God. I felt his presence and things like that. But I don't personally feel like it went as deep as an NDE. And I don't think I've had an out-of-body experience through meditation. It was one time years ago, I had a dream. It was a very lucid dream. And I was wondering if it was just a lucid dream or if I went out of body during that dream, because I was like at the ceiling and I was like feeling the little popcorn ceiling, and it felt so real that I've always wondered if it was just a lucid dream or if I'd had an out-of-body experience.
Now, Jeff has a great point.
Lucid dreams about my dad.
Okay. What, about your dad? What do you mean?
Oh, I had a lucid dream about my dad after his passing where I feel like he visited me, like a visitation dream, where it felt as real as when you're awake. And I knew he was dead, and I knew I was in a dream, but he was there and I could feel his presence and I was talking to him. And I just remember him saying and asked about, well, what is it like in heaven? And he said, it's wonderful. He whispered it in my right ear and I woke up and I had like this energy just running through my body. It was a very positive experience. And I've heard visitation dreams are quite common after someone passes, about a month after.
Now, Jay, I had to, as soon as I saw Cody was on, I had to bring Cody on for a moment because, and we're going to get into Jeff's comment here because I think that's very interesting. But I had to bring Cody on because she is probably my meditative expert. She has her, I almost said fancy dance, Cody, and I know that's not right. It's trance dance, but I wanted to call it fancy dance for a moment. But Cody is going to be my subject matter expert on these things. But I also want to bring up Jeff's comment here because, you know, he brings up a great point. He said, this is scaring me, makes me think of the movie Insidious, which is legit scarier. Look, I hate the movie Insidious. We talked about this the other day with my other Montana guest. Any movie where it's just a camera shot at nothing and like the curtain moves or some bullshit like that. Nope, I'm done. Yeah, right. I'm done. But he said he thinks that comas are people who wander too far from their bodies during near death or out of body. I'll ask Cody first. Cody, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, from what I've experienced and what I've been, you know, told with like other healers and things, like there's a groundedness, right? So if we're not grounded in our body or we don't have a tethering point here on Earth, then when people travel, they can travel too far, or, you know, those people that do have those near death experiences, there's something that's keeping them tethered here, be it will or otherwise. And that's, you know, that's really always kind of resonated with me in that manner.
What do you think, Jay? You know, you think, what do you think of that theory that people in comas are just, they wander too far during their near death experience?
Well, I think that's kind of like what I was talking about with the silver cord, that most near-death experiencers, there's the cord isn't totally broken. It's kind of like hanging on by a thread, but that's why they're able to come back. But yeah, I mean, I think is what you're talking about with grounding, similar to like the silver cord that some NDEers talk about.
Yeah, I think each different, you know, modality or each different understanding of things just uses different terms for all the same kind of things, you know, in one manner or another. I'm sure there's a science behind some of it too, but science bridges to spirit. So
now that's a good point. And you brought, look, Cody bridged me right into one. So we're going to talk here real quick. Jeff says he had one of these experiences where similar to what you had with a lucid dream there, Jay, where, and I Jeff and Ken are my best friends. Next to my wife. See that? Slid that right in there so I don't get yelled at. But check that block. But Jeff says that his mom came to him after she had passed to say goodbye and to apologize for not being there when she passed, let him apologize. And he felt like it was real. But and I get that because I know how close he was with his mother. But Our favorite super fan. I have two of my three super fans on tonight. I'm still missing Tim, but our Jeanette is out there, and Jeanette asked a question, and she, you know, and if you know her, she says it. I asked this respectfully as a Christian, and Cody kind of said it. Do you think, and Jay, I'll let you answer this one first, so get ready. Do you think NDEs can be explained scientifically at all?
Well, I get into issues where, you know, they talk about, well, is it just a dying brain and a hallucination? And I've seen experts like in psychology that say, even if they don't believe it's supernatural, they say there's just too much there to say it's a hallucination. It's very coherent. It's not all jumbled up and mixed up like most of the hallucinations you have. A lot of times they tend to be more positive. Hallucinations tend to be very negative, and they tend to be life-changing for most of the people that have it. So they don't really resemble anything like a hallucination.
What do you think, Cody? Do you think we can explain it scientifically? Because I have my theory on the science. See, and I'm a United Methodist. I've got my whole thing, but I do think there's a scientific explanation.
I think, you know, that. All right. So in my experience, things that happen, there's always a science side and there's always a spirit side. And, you know, whether we actually are in a space where we can explain it scientifically, if they're there yet or not, you know, I don't know. But I think everything is energy. And so because everything is energy of sorts, no matter what it is that we're speaking of, it can then at some point be explained scientifically.
And Eric's got a good question here. And I think, let me see if I can answer this one for Eric. Oh, no, go ahead, Jay. Let me hear you, brother.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, and I think there are scientific studies where some scientists are starting to say the person survives physical death, but they don't know necessarily how long. I think it goes on forever. But they think, well, maybe it's a few minutes or something, to where, you know, maybe the concept of energy will help sort of bridge the gap between science and spirituality. You know, we might call it a soul, but they'll call it an energy that goes on after the person dies. And maybe that'll sort of bridge the gap, because there was an NDE that talked about eventually science would discover the soul, you know, and maybe that's how it would happen. Explained in terms of energy.
See, you are so in Cody's wheelhouse. I can see she is exploding with energy right now for this one. Like I can just see it on her face. She's like, he's on my level right now. I know it.
I do. I love this stuff. I love it. Just to interject really quickly, there's people like Dr. Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton. You know, they're out there right now actually bridging the gap that you speak of science and spirit, and really coming to a place where they're starting to actually be able to, you know, show it and explain it in things that any mind can start to grasp. So it's beautiful.
See, now Eric asked the question, does the silver core repair itself when someone comes back to life? Now, based on what I'm hearing here, and now when I hear silver core, I think also, though, that has a very Greek mythology feel to it to me, because we all had in Greek mythology, you had the scissors of fate, where they fate could cut you. Yeah. Fate would cut it when you were done, just, and then you were done, and then it just went, and it was done. Fate said you were done. But that's what the silver cord kind of sounds like to me. So what's the thoughts here? Like, if you're coming back, then it never really broke. Would that make sense? Is that what we would say? We're solving the world today, folks. I am solving all forms of spirituality today. So what's the thought here there, Cody? If you come back, did the cord just not break, or were you able to put a square knot in it, bring it back? What are we doing here?
Geez, you know, I don't think anything ever is really broken, right? So if we go back to that theory of energy, it can't be destroyed or recreated, but it can be moved and it can be shifted and it can be changed to how it's seen. So, you know, maybe somebody, you know, comes back and they're not quite like they were. It doesn't mean that it was broken or it can't be repaired. It just means that it's returned in a different shape or expression, is how I would absorb that or understand that.
That's such a way, not understand it, absorb that. That's so like, what do you think, Jay? What's your thoughts on it? We'll wait for the lag to catch you.
Well, I know a lot of people that have seen the silver cord, and there's other people that maybe don't see the cord, but they'll see like a door or a light, and they say, they just know intuitively, if I go further, I'm not going back to Earth. So that'll be the full transition. Or they're just told you have to go back, or they're given a choice. So I think the people that have NDEs, somehow they're hanging on by a thread or whatever. But in most cases, I don't think the cord is broken yet so that they can get back to Earth. But yeah, I mean, they would continue to go on in the spiritual realm if they totally crossed over.
And we got another one here from Jeff. He says, I think they can, like a combo, the seeing the light, etc. This is where I'm a bit unique. Jeff, this has nothing to do with you being unique. There's so many other things about why you're unique. I'm someplace between the balance of what is happening to your body and brain and your psyche's coping mechanism. Okay. I can see that. See, like my thoughts are with some of this is what I know it sounds great and I know it sounds awesome and I want it to be all those things, but what if it's just the cells? Like you talked about that lady died four times. That's four times your brain went without oxygen. When we were kids, we would do that trick where we would pass out and hold our necks and everything. Right? Y'all remember that, Coach? Look, we got Jay to laugh again. We would do these things, and we would pass out, and you'd wake up, and you'd see stars and all that. Well, we were cutting off circulation to our brains is why that was happening. What if that's what some of this is? Not to sound like a turd, but I mean, what if that's what it is? You know, you haven't really hit the other side. You haven't hit the other part of it that you should, that we're all hoping we make it to, but it's just the cells dying and this is what you're left with. What's your thoughts there? Jay, you want to take the lead? Come on, Jay.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, when you look at evidences surrounding the NDE, like people have been seeing what was going on in the room and were able to describe it, even though medically speaking, they shouldn't have been able to see or hear anything. And then people going beyond their room and seeing what was going on in like the waiting room and being able to describe, you know, oh, well, you bought this candy bar and you said this specific thing, and then going back and having it confirmed, to where for me, it says that there's a spiritual level to what's going on, that it isn't just something in the brain happening, that there's something beyond that going on, you know. And there's other evidences for near-death experiences, like we were talking about with Heaven is for Real. The little boy saw his sister on the other side who died of a miscarriage, had never been told anything about it. He was 3 years old, and then he came back talking about his sister, and you know, it just sort of blew his parents away. But there's evidences like that that can't be explained, you know, to where I don't think you can just write the NDE off as, oh, it was just a pleasant experience and the brain gave you a nice experience as you were dying. I think there's some reality to it. And we get this from some NDEs to where it's more than just that, you know.
What do you think, Cody?
What do you think? I think that there's a lot to that. And one of the things that keeps kind of coming to me is when we're in this physical form, we're functioning normally, we have all this stuff, right, in our environment and our programming and things that keep us from being able to access these spaces because of fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, programming, whatever, right? And so our brain and our body has this massive ability to connect to all of these things. It's just that it's kind of got all this garbage layer stuff on top. So as you're going through, you know, near death experience and you're going into those different spaces and your cells are dying or whatever that is, it's actually the physical part of your body falling away and getting out of the way so that your higher self or energy or consciousness or whatever can actually access those other things. And I think that that's the part that people are seeing, you know, as those parts fall away, they're able to see, feel, speak to energy, spirit, higher self, and those kinds of things, because that's actually not prohibiting them from connecting in that manner. So I think that's at least when you're talking about, that's what came up for me and how I kind of see and felt that.
All right. So make sure we're all on the same page here. So I think we can all, I got to go with Jeanette on this one, which Jeanette, sidebar, making a left turn here for a moment. Jeanette, I've decided we are going to do a show and I want to talk about English foods that no one in America would damn near ever eat and the names of them. I think it'll just be great. But I think she's right. There is both a spiritual and a scientific. If we think about it with what's out there, how much of what we do today, if we went back 100 years, 200 years, would be some form of magic? The ability to have every piece of knowledge under the sun in our hands. Oh, look at that, folks. You can go on and get you an Above the Bar, the Above the Bar podcast cell phone cover. Look at that shameless plug for a moment.
That's nice.
You know, we would call it that. We would call it, you know, magic. You would say, oh, they're an evil person. Look at the stuff Houdini did. We can go back and through all this, and we would just call it those things. Even one of my, you know, go to Marvel. Marvel does it great. And they say, Tony Stark says, you know, magic is just science we don't understand yet. So how much of this, you know, and what would that's another question that just came to mind. How much of this would be a break in our belief system if we figured out that what we're calling NDEs and STEs, not STDs, and calling these things by these different nomenclatures based on the fact that we're saying it's faith-based, what would it mean if it really was actually, we could scientifically explain it all? Eric, if you go to TeePublic and type in the Above the Bar podcast, you too can buy one of my t-shirts, and you would be the first person to buy one that wasn't me. Sidebar completely. We're making turns here. So what's the thoughts here? Cody, I'll let you go first. So what do you think from a social standpoint, if all of a sudden tomorrow the Hague or one of these, you know, scientific, like great scientific minds where everyone gets together came out and they said, we figured out how to cross between here and the never, and we know how to do it, and we've broken that chain. What would it mean from a faith standpoint? And I don't care what your faith is, all faiths, what would that mean?
Well, I mean, for me, I'd be really excited because people would kind of see what I see, which is that everything is connected and we're all one, and it would kind of just solve all of those issues. I would hope that it would create more peace and stability for people and, you know, a little more understanding. But I mean, honestly, it would be a transition period for people to understand something other than what they've been programmed with. But you know, faith, there's still a higher being. There's still a larger energy that we're all connected to. So even if you explain the science of it, you know, I believe that there's still that piece that is bigger than us. So, I think it would kind of be a little crazy for a hot minute, but I also think it would be something incredibly beautiful that could really, you know, ease people's minds. You know, it's not, oh, we're dead and then we're gone forever. No, it's not. It's just that we've, you know, shifted from this form into formless and, you know, do whatever else or come into whatever else. I mean, some religions believe in reincarnation, some don't in that manner. So I think, you know, it'd be an adjustment period, but I also think it would be very freeing and very supportive to just understanding soul and energy and connection.
What about you, Jay? What's your thoughts? You there, Jay?
Yeah, I think on the one hand, for a lot of people of faith, it's very exciting because it starts confirming some. Yeah, can you hear me? I said on the one hand, it's probably very exciting for people of faith because it starts confirming some of the things they believe. On the other hand, it kind of scares people because even though the science or the near-death experience is confirming some of the basics of what I believe, if you have a very narrow interpretation of certain things in the Bible and it's like, it's not confirming that and it's not grooving with that, then it's like, ooh, it creates a little bit of stress. So it's like, you have to be open to the idea that maybe it's going to prove that there's a God in some way and that there's a heaven and an afterlife and things like that. But maybe it's not going to confirm things exactly as you understand it. And that may be difficult for people. And that's kind of what I talked about when I said that, what is the difference between spirituality and religion? Religion takes spiritual truth and puts it within a cultural context that makes sense to the audience. And I think that's a lot of times, if you get too caught up in the cultural minutiae of a religion and the things like that, you can lose out on some of the deeper spiritual truths that may be there in the religion.
See, I my first thought came to, we already have such a fragile belief. Like, it's not like when I was a kid. Like, I can remember being a kid. I grew up Roman Catholic. As a kid, if I would have shown up to my grandmother and we were going to church, if I wasn't in like Sunday dress clothes, it was all bad. Like, jeans, how dare you? That's like, wasn't a thing. And as society's going on, and for those who don't know, I'm in, Cody and I are in the Albany area. Jay is in Montana, where all the great podcast guests are coming from now, I guess, because that's almost three in a matter of 5 weeks. I have no idea what's going on here with me in Montana. I'm going to be big. But Albany actually a few years ago was ranked as the least faithful city in America. Like, we tore down a beautiful Polish church in Watervliet, New York, that at one point in time was the tallest building in New York till the Empire State Building was built, if you didn't know that. And we tore it down, and now it's a grocery store. So I think about, like, if all of a sudden somebody said, hey, that light is legit, but through a little bit of wheeling and dealing here with this machine, we can just, like, you could hang out there for like 20 minutes and we'll just bring you back. Make sure you got your passport. I think, like, what would that, I mean, some of these fragile societies that are built off of these ideas would fall apart. And I think faith, to a point, keeps many, many people from doing a lot of dumb stuff. So what's the thought there? Now, the other side is like, hey, I love Cody's always optimistic. I've known Cody now for about a year. We were doing like networking events. Jay and I have been talking for a little bit. And she's a very positive person. Like, she does, and I keep wanting to say fancy dance. It's trance dance, certified Cody trance dance. But, you know, she's a positive person. What if this shut down all, like, I know we're way off, Jay, from your book. And as you all can see, scrolling across the bottom, Heaven's Truth, the Parallels Between the Bible and Near-Death Experience. Check it out. Be one of the first to get a copy of it. Get out there and read it. I told you he was drinking seltzer water. There it was. We'll start with Jay on this one. If Jay's lag isn't too much. But what if this, an idea like of something like a destroyed organized religion in the world, what would be? What do you think, Jay? Your NBA, your NBA experience, because you're now the new center for the New York Knicks. You're an experience like that shut down organized religion. They realize, hey, this isn't what we thought it was. We can go back and forth now. What do you think, from a global standpoint, something like that could mean?
Well, I mean, in terms of destroying organized religion, I don't know that it would ever do that. I just wonder if it would maybe sort of reorganize some of the order that's there, and some of the rigidity that's in organized religion might have to fall by the wayside. But I mean, to some extent, people want to corporately worship together and corporately do certain things and have their traditions, and you know, that's fine, I think, but some of the rigidity might have to go. And, you know, I try to explain certain things in my book, like, you know, like a lot of Christians would be like, well, how can non-believers and how can people that aren't from a different faith or something, how can they have a heavenly experience? That doesn't make sense to me, you know, because it says you got to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I explained in my book, Well, they're in the light and they're embracing the light. They're being immersed in love and light and peace. You could argue that they're having their born again experience, their born of the spirit experience right there in the light. And that's why a lot of people that maybe aren't Christian specifically are having positive NDEs, because they're being born of the spirit right there in the light. And for some Christians, that makes sense. Others of them are like, yeah, doesn't really make sense to me. And I've seen NDEs where they talk about, it felt like I was born again or reborn as I was in the light. So I think that that may make a connection for some Christians, you know, when you look at it from that perspective.
Getting all back.
I like that. I also like that Sean's coming back. That's great.
I'm back. Hey, Jay, are you there?
You came back. Jay left. I don't know. I'm just hanging out.
All right. I'm glad you all are still there. That's saving graces. I don't know. So I bought a new router because the guy came and looked at my stuff and was like, oh man, your router, it can't handle your internet. It's bullshit. I'm like, really? I was like, oh, I better get this new router. You know, I bought the new router and my internet has sucked ever since then. So I'm going to have to buy either another router or whatever, but this one sucks royally. All right. So Jay, I'm assuming you explained all that amazing stuff and told everyone how amazing the idea would be. So
he did a great job. He did a great job,
Jay.
He did.
Jay, don't hurt yourself, but pat yourself on the back. So Jay, do you do any kind of book tours? You're taking this on the road? Are you allowed to leave the state?
I haven't really been able to do any book tours or anything like that. I know like the public library had said, maybe when things calm down a little bit with the COVID that, you know, I could give a talk there. And I talked to bookstores about meeting, but they're not ready to go there yet. So I'm just kind of waiting for things to open up before I can go out, you know, in public in terms of doing like book tours and discussions and things like that. But I'm ready to go with it, you know.
Now, is Montana still pretty, like, you guys, it's like a mile between houses in Montana, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, Montana's actually pretty open now. We're probably almost like pretty much like South Dakota. We don't really have any mask mandates. And I think there's very few COVID restrictions left at this point.
So if anyone wants to find your book, let's make sure we got this going across. We had Heaven's Truth, the parallel between the Bible and near-death experiences. They can all jump on and check that. We also have, what was the other one? So you have a Facebook group also. Now, the Facebook group is called The Bible and Near-Death Experiences with J.W. Spiller, right?
Right.
Okay. with that, What's going on that Facebook group? What are we getting into there?
Well, that's where you can go and discuss different things, anything related to the Bible or the near-death experience, spirituality, you can discuss there. So, you know, when people talk about, we get in discussions about things like aliens and things like that. And I actually did talk about that in my book, that there are near-death experiences where they were shown or told that there is life on other planets and that we're not alone. And there are other universes with life on them. And there's even a connection between Christ visiting other planets and message to them too.
Hold on, Jay.
You are not alone.
Oh, sing it, Cody. She ain't even got a drink in her hand, folks. She ain't even got a drink in her hand. I'm about quarter way through this bottle of Heaven's Hill, and I'm fascinated right now. I am completely fascinated. So Jesus went to other planets, like the okay.
Jesus is a rock star,
fucking guy.
He does all sorts
like,
of awesome
water. Is there anyone better? Like, oh, I almost said something horrible. I was this close to saying something horrible that like. My father would come from his grave and my grandmother would haunt me forever because I almost said Jesus was the coolest guy at the party because he turned all the water into wine and all he hung out with was prostitutes. I almost said that. How much trouble would I have gotten into for saying something like that? I can't say that. That's horrible.
You just did. So like you did say it by not saying it.
Oh. Well, I saw someone. Yeah. I did see a meme about someone saying that.
Can't do that stuff. So Jay, so you've got, like, I'm fascinated. So that brings up the whole, how to put this one. So the U.S. government is now saying that we have like real UFOs. They're finally admitting to it. Mm-hmm. Look how big Cody's like, yeah. And Jay's nodding his head away.
Old news. Right.
Yeah. We've known this for a while.
Come on.
But they're finally saying, like, all right, so here's the video footage. They're on 60 Minutes. I love 60 Minutes. But they're finally acknowledging that. That's another question for, like, these NDE experiences and with the Bible. If we turn around and we say, hey, you know, tomorrow we have, like, God, I hope it ain't a V situation. I was a big fan of the show V, but they were just cultivating humans to turn them into snacks on the TV show V. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to be anybody's snack, except for my wife's. So what's the deal, Jay? What do you think? If this was legitimate and the alien deal is real, how does that affect something like this?
I think it would probably be earth-shattering for a lot of people because it's like, I know so many people that are Christians that say, well, all the aliens are just demons posing as aliens. But it's like, if you come to believe that aliens are real, and for a lot of them, it's like, well, how does Jesus fit in the picture and God with aliens? And I think he fits in because of this, what I just said, that he's been to their worlds and, you know, that there's a connection there. But it's like, for a lot of them, I don't think they would be able to process it right away, and it probably would shake up religion and to a great extent, I mean aliens have been in cultural discussions for thousands of years. Like, I have a book on Native Americans, and some of them will talk about star people coming down and visiting them, and there's different legends in India and all over the world of alien encounters. So it's not just like the last few decades where people started seeing UFOs, but this has been happening. And if it got confirmed, I think it would be altering for politics and things like that. And they talk about maybe that's why governments are trying to hide it, because they don't know how to let it get revealed to the public that aliens are real.
So now, Jay, Eric's got another good question here. So Eric's on it tonight. He's making it happen. There's not a lot going on in Plattsburgh, so maybe I'll be big in Plattsburgh next. And for those of you who keep seeing me flick my shirt, it's nothing personal, but I do really like – I stopped my subscription to T-Post, but then they sent me this finally a great T-shirt. I really love this T-shirt.
Nah, meme.
With a bird, that's great. But Eric had a great question. Do people pass on and join the aliens or have an NDE, meet aliens, and come back to Earth? Like, could that be what we have going on here? Is we're bumping into the alien, like, that's our next step. Like, almost like, if you liked Cody, did you watch OA?
Yeah.
Was OA not great and they canceled it after they took them 6 years to come up with the second season? And then we were really like that, and they were in the house at the end, and it was great. For those of you who didn't watch OA, watch OA. It's amazing. I'm trying to do all the OA hand gestures right now, and I'm not good at it. That shit was wild. They were all in it. Like, they did all kinds of shit. But
so much tricks, so many things.
We towards the end of the show, I thought we were gonna end it here. But we have got a special guest in the green room. He's smiling right now because only I can see him. So we had a special guest show up. He was going to be my co-host today. He had what I hope, God, I'm going to say this and he'll yell at me I hope Cheyenne's not listening. He might have had a near-death experience. But let's see here. Folks, big welcome to Keith. Keith, what is going on with your shirt?
Oh, it's unbuttoned.
So, Keith. The aliens. The aliens have unbuttoned Keith's shirt. But, Jay, like, Jay, you can't see it, but I'm getting multiple text messages. People are very interested in this topic.
This is bad.
Try to figure out what this is all about. I think Keith and I do an app called Stereo. If you don't have Stereo, make sure you get it. We do a show on Stereo and we talk about things. We may be talking about maybe doing a post show thing here. That sidebar. Keith. How I feel about this, Keith. My wife says you're bringing sexy back. I don't know how I feel about
I'm
that.
I'm trying to. I'm really doing my best, but some people make it a really hard job for me, so I'm overcompensating, it feels like. And, you know, one button too much? Nope. One button can make or break a whole impression. There we go. Now that's
one
sexy.
One button just froze our friend.
Oh, yes. I mean, sometimes it's the power of a button is something that people don't utilize enough, I believe. You know, just that one, it leaves enough to the imagination, or there's the other one. It's like, okay, well, now I'm not even interested, you know?
Yeah.
I have too much of a philosophy on buttons. I put too much thought into it.
Whatever your thought was, just froze Sean something solid. He was like, buttons?
He's like, my God, have I been doing buttons wrong this whole time?
He's like, aliens and buttons. My wife just said Keith's bringing sexy back. I'm out.
Hey, you know, buttons are kind of like cologne. Like, you know, the amount of cologne a man wears directly relays his intentions. And then... I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody else, but at least it does to me. Oh, and I was trying to make it on earlier there, Sean, but we had some horse trouble, which is a uniquely, well, I don't know if it's uniquely, but a Kentucky issue. So,
hey, Keith, Sean, welcome back.
I know this is what, look, you guys have saved this show tonight because I'm telling you, I bought this stupid ass router. Jay, we're not holding you too long from going to go do something, are we? You good?
It's the buttons.
Jay, are you still there? Jay, make your heartbeat if you can hear us. Dum, 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 dum. Jay?
Is it the polka dots? I mean, they're a lot for some people.
They are a lot for some people. So, we'll just keep going with it. So Keith finally showed up. Keith had, like you said, a very uniquely Kentucky issue that Cheyenne's horse. And Cody, could you do a dance for the horse later?
My transcend dance.
we're going to have a fancy dance, trance dance for the horse.
Yes. Yes.
to help the horse out.
It's a trance dance, tramp stamp dance. Cause you know, I'm trying to talk Cheyenne into getting a tramp stamp.
now
thanks,
Keith,
Eric.
Keith, this was for you earlier, brother.
Oh,
see where it's from?
Oh, yeah, I know where it's all from. I mean, that's why we have horses. People are too drunk to drive, so they get
drunk riding. That's a thing in Kentucky.
Everywhere else, not just here, so that we don't stick out so bad.
Should I get a mocktail? Do I not? I don't know. Am I the only one that's never drank on the above the bar?
Wait, hold on. No, because Jay, are you still with us? Give me a thumbs up if you can hear us, Jay. For those of you watching live, we can see Jay, but there's not a lot happening here. We don't know what's going on.
he looks happy.
He does look happy right now. We're all just enjoying that Jay is a happy person right now. Jeanette says trance dance and fancy pants.
Oh my goodness. Keith, that's not quite it, but it's a, you know, it's your authentic movement, so we'll honor it. We will honor it.
Authentically sad movements when it comes to dance. Yeah, I know. I know what I look like when I dance.
It's perfect. It was perfect.
But it saved you in jail, didn't it?
Did he just give us a thumbs up like 20 minutes later that he heard us?
Was that a thumbs up, Jay?
I think it was. That's like a 5-minute lag.
Oh, man.
Jay, are you using dial-up internet in Montana? I just need to know.
Montana.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. No, it's not dial-up. It's just I live out in the country, and it sort of lags.
Keith, I just got a request. I have a $10 bet. Are your nipples pierced?
Purposefully or accidentally? Is it
either way? Is it done?
Oh, I gotta say no. Nope.
Oh, I need $10.
Is that the only one that they guess?
Yeah, that was. I just got that. Wow, Cody, you're developing a fan base. Eric is developing a fan base for you.
Oh, thank you, Eric.
I had to get him on one of our network calls with Jeanette and everybody else, and he can see what we do down here in the Albany area. We're making networking something important.
Yeah, we're bringing networking back.
That's a whole entire thing. I got to tell you, folks, I got 15 people watching right now, and it's been a steady at a 10. This is amazing that just we're holding on for dear life. Jay, people like you, brother. So what's your feeling, Jay? We're gonna combine this, Jay. You ready? Give me a thumbs up if you're with me still. Give me a thumbs up, Jay. Little something. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Thumbs up. Gotcha. And we're gonna go around the horn here. We'll start with Jay. He's below me. Jay's below me. I don't know how that works out. But Jay, here's my question for you. We're going to stick with, we already had the Hague or the super thing determines that we can cross over. And on the same day, we find out that aliens are legit and we have aliens. Basically, everything we've known for our lifetime, finally, just we get the whole. What's it going to be like? What do we end up with, Jay? What's your thoughts?
He's really bold.
Well, I kind of wonder would it sort of end up being like Star Trek, where we just end up coming around accepting it? It would be a shock at first, but we would have learned to adapt, you know. I don't know how long it would take to adapt.
So you think we would just finally eventually accept the fact that it's all happening? We lost Jay. We'll move over to Keith. Keith, what are your thoughts? Same thought here.
About if we would be like all right with aliens if we found out they
well no so well you missed it. So Jay wrote a book on NDE near death experiences and STE echo spiritual, what is it, Cody? Say it again because I don't want to wait on his lag. Spiritual what? Spiritual transcendent events, I think is what it is.
Okay.
So basically what we were talking about the other day, and we talked about, and just so you know, Cody has done the whole astral projecting thing. She's had out of body experiences.
It was an accident.
That's what they all say.
Happened.
And Keith and I just did a whole show with a guy named Maverick for like a damn hour, almost 2.5 hours talking about this, which was wild.
Good show.
But so all this happens and we realize that all these events that have gone down are truly legit and not sci-fi, not BS. What happens to global organized religion and people in general?
Well, to me or to them?
I'm asking you, what do you think would happen?
With mostly with organized religion, 99% are atheistic towards the other, like towards every other one. So, you know, I think that the aliens would come down and push us that 1% a little bit closer to, you know, maybe able to get along with each other, because we're like, oh, well, we're not out here. Well, maybe we should start a little bit better towards each other since we have some people watching us. We've got an audience. And so, you know, the power of observation, that definitely plays a part in, you know, how we act around people. So if we got, you know, some three-eyed overlords, then, you know, we might be a little bit faster to each other.
Three-eyed overlords?
Yeah.
Oh. Babe, I speak country. So what Keith actually said was that translates into and that actually, God, I've got so much Kentucky bourbon in me, I can't fucking talk right now. What that translates into is we would all start treating each other better if we knew there was a third party out there that's been observing us all this time. And we'd all start acting like we had half a lick of sense to each other, knowing that maybe we need to bond together against a common threat.
Yes, either that or absolutely lose our collective minds.
Oh, this is so great. And what's your thoughts, Cody?
I think it would be just perfectly wonderful, because it's, first off, when did we get disconnected from aliens and start calling them aliens? That's what I'd like to know. How far back did that happen? Because, you know, and when you die and you're talking to them, it's not like they're somewhere else, you know, it's just, again, that fluff is gone. So if something came to the point where all of these organized religions actually had to open up to the idea of that collective consciousness and that beautiful, you know, we are one, we come from one source, it should actually help create world peace right after it creates massive calamity. But everything has to fall apart before it can fall together. So somehow or another, it'll all be okay.
So wait a sec, Cody. So are you going to be the girl in the movie Independence Day when everybody else was running, she had her sign and ran to the top of the building and was holding up the sign like, this is great, we see you guys, and then they blew the building up on her?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would at least have discernment to see if it was an angry one or a friendly one first.
What do you, Jay? Jay, when the lag catches you, you let us know. Are the aliens going to be nice or shitty?
He's staring into my soul. He might be. Right now,
Jay, you there? Did you freeze on me, bud?
I saw eyeball movement.
It's one of those freeze guns, man. Top of the line technology.
Has he been taken over by aliens?
Jay, were you taken over by aliens?
Blink in Morse code SOS if you need help.
For those of you that are not watching this as a video, it will be on the YouTube page. It will be on Facebook. Please go back. Jay, you're amazing as a guest. I am having such a good time. I can't tell you the last time I had 10, 11 people just hanging out the entire time with us, just doing their thing. You've got people sending me messages, personal text messages. They're very into this. This is a topic that really has people just fascinated with whatever is you've got going on here. What do you think, Jay? Are they good or are they bad, the aliens? What do we think?
I think most of them are probably good, but there are some dark ones. I think there's some like the reptilians that might be dark. But I think most of the aliens, from what I can just sort of read online, are good.
Well, what?
Hold on.
So, they're reptilian in everyone's mind so often.
So do you believe in God? I love you both that are on here with me. I wish Anthony would have answered earlier. He's my flat earth friend.
No judgment there.
Yes. That's a whole nother thing. And Anthony's the best. So that's a question, Keith. So do you subscribe to the lizard people theory?
Do I subscribe to?
Did I say Keith? I meant.
Yeah, he said.
I'm sorry, Keith. But I'll get to you in a sec. Jay, do you believe in the lizard people theory? And then I'll go Jay, Cody, and then you, Keith.
Yeah, I think that the reptilians are real, and there was a documentary put out where they showed some video footage, but it was kind of like where a lady was being attacked in Nome, Alaska by one of the reptilians. And it sort of makes sense because they kind of look like what people describe as demons. And I have always wondered if some of the demonic experiences that have been described are actually the reptilians. You know, so yeah, I believe that there's reptilian aliens. And they tend to be more sinister.
So you feel that the reptilians are here, and do you think they wear human body suits?
Like a Man in Black.
Elvis.
I said, you feel that they're here, and do you think they wear like human body suits, or like they just hide out? I so need the Jeopardy music.
Do, 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 do.
All right. Cody, what's your thoughts? We'll go to Cody next. Cody, reptilian people, yay, nay, and your reasoning?
Well, okay. First, I want to say that as far as the aliens, bad or good thing, I think they're going to be a reflection of whatever part of us we still have to work on. Secondly, or what we're open to, the reptilian thing. I mean, you know, I did see this thing about Elvis I haven't seen one personally myself, but I can't say that I don't believe that it's possible. Anything's possible.
Right. I always tell my kids, nothing is impossible. It's just some things are improbable.
That's true.
I mean,
I also, though, wonder, like, you think people just get these ideas in movies out of nowhere? Like, come on.
Yes, there we go.
Like, and thoughts become things. That's also, like, a law of the universe. So, like, if that's a thing, then, like, all the things are things.
Oh, well, thanks, Dr. Seuss. all the things are things, and they walk with two feet, and they're thingy things.
Red fish, Keith, two fish.
One fish, two fish. Keith, what's your thoughts here? and we already know that Kentucky has blue people, so that's a whole thing.
Thank you. And that's a whole other type of alien behavior. Yeah. But I don't want to get into that part of the Kentucky perspective. But as far as like the reptilian thing, like them being actually our size, I think that's definitely like egotistical idea, like that we want every like, bubble of understanding. So I mean, there's nothing to tell there's aliens out there that aren't just microscopic. You know, I mean, because size is relative of that.
Hey, like, hey, speak for yourself.
Hey, you know, the only reason I don't know what I can get away with saying on here. Are we after hours yet or not?
Well, I don't know how far after hours we are. This will be on YouTube and Facebook and everything else. So I'm just.
Well, thoughts definitely, thoughts bring things into like existence. You know, you can manifest things, especially if enough people think on it at the same time. You know, but I think that the reptilian thing is a little bit far-fetched. And other than Hillary Clinton, But you know, she's a special. Like, but wouldn't you think that? I mean, if I were an alien civilization myself, you know, I feel like there would be like a hive mind type thing, and the best, like most, like energy efficient way to like exist to use the least amount of energy possible. And if there's an alien civilization, they're billions of years old. So they went through evolution, and they went through all these like different bodies and things, and they've got to the most like streamlined, efficient like body that they can get. And I don't think that they would necessarily even take interest in us. It would be like, you know, the argument of like what we, like when we see an anthill, you know, unless you're a psychopath, you don't even bother yourself with it.
Keith, you've poured gasoline onto an anthill before and set it on fire, haven't you?
Absolutely. I make salt mazes for slugs.
I mean, this is just, I feel like at this moment we could just keep going. And I want everybody, please take the time. I think everyone needs to go now, Keith, or not Keith, but Jay, give me a thumbs up when you can hear me. Your book.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Is it okay? Good. Is your book, is your, right, you can hear me, folks. Is your book, is it on Amazon? Is it on street corners? Where can we find this book at?
It's on Amazon. I have it in a few bookstores here and there, but it's mostly on Amazon. That's the easiest place to find it, is on Amazon.
And what's the book run?
Well, it's $2.99 for the ebook, $7.99 for the paperback, and there's actually a hardcover that's $12.99.
And is there now, if for our folks here, do you have a website? Maybe they could go and if they had like, and I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here because we didn't mention this before, but is there any kind of code or anything they could use to save on it or anything special? Like if they showed up at the book club on Facebook and they said, hey, they read it, anything they can get out of that?
I don't have access to any codes, but if they go in the group, sometimes I put like if I put a sale on there, I would mention it there so they could get in with that from the group. But I don't really have, Amazon doesn't offer me like access to offer a discount code to people.
Okay. Hey, you know, I think Eric's definitely picking up a book. Eric, next time I'm in Plattsburgh, I expect to see you with a copy of it.
La Bonte.
Jay, somebody bumped you off. Eric says, Jay, you need to raise those prices. He says, you know, this type of information everyone needs. I'm getting text messages right now from my best friends telling me I'm cheap, but I'm looking out for our guests, looking out for the people who come listening to the show right now, seeing who's out there. You know, Jay, I think I actually have your next book is Aliens, Afterlife,
and the Bible.
And Jesus, Aliens, Afterlife, in Jesus. That is a home run book. Mind blown. That gets an extra one. Aliens, Afterlife, in Jesus. Jay, can we write this book?
Rock, flag, eagle.
It's like rock, paper, scissors. Jay, are you going to write this book? I need to know now.
I'll help you.
Well, I have to work on it and see if I can put it together.
Aliens,
do it.
The you afterlife. Can do it. Aliens, the afterlife in Jesus. That is a book everyone is reading. You're on CBS Sunday Morning with Gail King. You're out there hanging out with Gail. Gail hangs out with Oprah.
True story. This is really good visioning, by the way, because you know thoughts become things. So I mean, we are just putting this into existence right now. Good job, Sean.
Thank you. I don't need a vision board. I am a vision board.
This is what this is.
He's a force to be reckoned with. I will tell you that.
I mean, and we're going to go around the horn here because we're going to get ready to wrap this whole thing up. Cody, I'm going to have just Cody on one day, and we'll talk. We'll keep Keith on for that episode, and we can talk about, you know, Trance Dance and Fancy Pants. We'll get it all out there. And Cody, do we still have and Keith doesn't know about this, but I think Jay would be a good candidate for this. Woke ass dating.
Tim and I actually, we're taking a break from that and focusing on our own things. I'm focusing on my transformational life coaching and intuitive healing with people and my trance and dance. So we kind of took a break on that. But we will bring it back in the future, potentially, depending.
Intuitive healing?
It's just a manner in which I bring, let me see, how's a good way to explain this? When people are experiencing blocks or whatever it is that's happening to them, I'm able to tap into it intuitively and create a really good mirror that helps evoke out of them the solution that they need for themselves, which empowers them to then move forward towards their dreams, goals.
Oh, okay. Like, you match their energies so that you can, like, get on their level and then try to see the problem with their eyes and help them get through it that way.
Yeah. Something like that.
Don't say it's something like that. Is it or isn't it? Come on now, Cody.
Well, it's something like that. I don't, it's just basically serving as a mirror for someone to be able to see what's happening and then help them take the action steps and then give them a new lens to kind of see things under, raise awareness to different parts of themselves that are maybe holding them back from things that could really support them. You know, some people don't even know how to dream anymore. They forget that they can, or how to vision, or how to get excited about stuff, or write that book, you know, with Jesus and the aliens.
Look, aliens, the afterlife, and Jesus.
I know. I really like that.
That is such a great title.
It is. It really is. I mean, that was a good collaboration right there. That was hot. Also, guys, our color coordinations tonight are really rocking. I love the blue, the green, the red, the gray. Like, it's really fun, this whole color wheel thing.
And all different shades of gray.
And Cody, where can they find all your stuff at? I know you're on Facebook. Where else?
So you can go soulsproutspeaks.com. You can find me on Instagram at soulsprout333. Or you can find me at Cody Wassel on Facebook. So I'm all over the place. I'm on LinkedIn. You know, I'm working. Yeah, I just crushed that.
She's everywhere. And Keith, if you can find me, you probably find Keith also. And I'm pointing at Keith, but like it's actually he's there. Like, no, there.
They're all encompassing. There.
If you can find me, you can find Keith. Somehow we've ended up, you know, finding each other on our social media lives. Other than Facebook. His ass ain't on Facebook.
No, my Facebook is not bumping, you know.
Now, I just want you all to know, as Keith is talking to you in this manner and trying to make sure he sounds like his voice is extremely deep. And,
well, I'll tell you
what. And everyone needs to know exactly what's going on in his life.
Being Morgan Freeman.
If you were to actually see Keith, if he got any skinnier, he'd fall through his own asshole and choke himself to death.
Hey, you Dane, you know you go after that.
Oh, so Keith, where can they find you at?
I'm on Instagram at keithburr.comedy. I'm on also Stereo app and. If it got any deeper, it'd be the opposite. Nobody'd be able to register, I don't believe. But you know, I'm on TikTok, of course, like every other self-respecting 30-year-old. And I've got my own website, .com. And let's see, I'm on Black People Meet, Tinder, all of those, you know, like the. You know, how we come together. You know, Clubhouse, of course, that's a good one.
Cody, are you on Clubhouse?
I am on Clubhouse. I also have TikTok, but probably not.
What? Cody's on Clubhouse?
The kind of TikTok he has.
We'll have to find Cody on Clubhouse. Keith just hooked me up with Clubhouse. I wasn't on there. He let me in.
Whoop, whoop.
Hey, I'm a door.
And for those of you that don't understand, Cody spells her name C-O-D-Y, and then Wassail is W-A-S-I-A-L, and Keith is Keith, normal spelling, Burr with two R's, B-U-R-R. Burr. And then Jay, give me a thumbs up when you got us, Jay, and I'll turn it right on over to you. And we're going to Jay, you're going to tell everyone where to find you at. Anytime, Jay.
Hey, you can find me on the Bible and the Near Death Experience, my Facebook group, or Spiritual Discussions with J.W. Spillers on Facebook. That's my page. And my book's available on Amazon. So hopefully I'll see you over there.
Folks, everyone, get out there and get his book. As always, for all everyone who's listening, please go on to Apple, whatever podcast app you're listening to this one. If you're listening to the podcast version, make sure you like, save, subscribe, share. As always, the goal is to get kicked off of every one of your yard sale sites on the video that you enjoy. We have our Instagram at the Above the Bar Podcast. On Twitter, we have our Twitter is Above the Bar 4. Email the Above the Bar Podcast. Wait a sec. We got one last comment. Will Smith might have to get involved. Will Smith ain't shit. You know, he got chubby just like me. Make sure you like and subscribe and share and get it all out there. This is what we're doing every week. Something I don't normally do is I don't normally promote the next week, but next week's show is a pretty big one for me. A few months ago, we had Jaya Wirtz on. Jaya did a documentary called Conviction, I believe is what it was called. It was an amazing documentary. It's only about 22 minutes. It's on Amazon about a gentleman from Peekskill, New York at age 16 who was sent to jail for 16 years for a murder rape he did not commit and was coerced by the police into admitting it. Another gentleman after DNA evidence admitted to it. Well, Jeff got out of jail through DNA evidence and now is a lawyer who goes out and advocates for people who are wrongly convicted. Amazing story. He's an amazing guy who, when we talk to him, you'll see he doesn't hold a grudge. He's not douchey about it. So please tune in next week, everyone. Share it around. I think the guy needs as much support as we possibly can. I'm completely fascinated. We're going to go around the horn. Everyone's going to get a last word in here. As I always say, for all my guests and co-hosts today, when I send you to the green room, don't log out. We're going to talk for a minute. Maybe, Keith, are we doing a radio after a stereo after this to talk?
Yeah, sure, man. We can do radio where I can start a room, clubhouse.
What are we going to do? Are we doing a clubhouse or are we doing a stereo? You pick.
Let's do stereo.
We're going to do stereo. For those of you who don't have the stereo app, look for – you got your full name on stereo though, right? Keith
Keith Birdshit.
Birdshit. Keith Birdshit. Mm-hmm. And mine is just Sean Murphy because I spelled it wrong the first time and it had an O in it. There's no O in my fucking name. there's none. So we're going to go around the horn. We'll get our last words in here. Cody, what's your final word for everybody?
Oh, be you, whether it's an alien, a unicorn, a soul, or an energy, be you and love it and love each other.
Jay, get ready. Keith, what's your final word?
Well, I can't help but to be a unicorn. I always have sharp shit coming out of my dome. So, you don't have to always be honest, but don't be a liar. And also, just be a nice person. Try to have a good effect on everybody around you every day.
And Jay, what's your final word for us, Jay?
I'd say there's a world beyond this one, and we're here to learn to love and to experience life, and that we don't need to worry about when we die because there's something better on the other side.
Beautiful thought there. All righty, folks, be sure to push your stool in.
This has been an Earplug Podcast presentation. found on earplugpodcast.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, and wherever your favorite podcasts are found.